A few weeks ago now, since we were looking at Philippians chapter 2, but we'll go back there again tonight, try to catch up where we finished. Philippians chapter 2, we'll read from verse 19. Now from this verse, right to the end of the chapter, we are being told some very interesting things about two outstanding characters. We'll try and deal with both of them tonight. If not, we'll just have to leave one of them for another night. Chapter 2, verse 19. But I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timotheus shortly unto you, that I also may be of good comfort when I know your state. For I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state. For all seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ. For ye know the proof of him, that as a son with the Father, he has served with me in the gospel. Him therefore I hope to send presently, so soon as I shall see how it will go with me. But I trust in the Lord that I also myself shall come shortly. Yet I supposed it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother and companion in labor and fellow soldier, but your messenger and he that ministered to my wants. For he longed after you all and was full of heaviness because that ye had heard that he had been sick. For indeed he was sick nigh unto death. But God had mercy on him, not in him only, but on me also, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. I sent him therefore the more carefully, that when ye see him again, ye may rejoice, that I may be the less sorrowful. Receive him therefore in the Lord with all gladness, and hold such in reputation, because for the work of Christ he was nigh unto death, not regarding his life to supply your lack of service toward me. To the Lord will bless to us the reading of these verses. Now you want to keep in mind, of course, what are the main trends of thought that Paul is developing throughout this epistle. We remind you again, it's a very joyful letter. He strikes the note of joy again and again. He keeps telling them to rejoice and rejoice. However, underlying the main current, we have learned this, that there was something brewing in that assembly that perhaps if it burst out, it may be like one of these great hurricanes. You never know where it's going to blow. It might dissipate and that's all about it. But it might gain strength and cause an awful lot of havoc. Seemed to be like that in the church at Philippi. The apostle uses great tact and wisdom the way that he approaches the difficulty. You will remember that I outlined to you way at the very beginning in the introduction to this epistle, it was obvious the two things that Paul was seeking to press upon them. Number one was the need for humility and the need for unity. These seem to be the two things that the devil was seeking to upset in the church at Philippi. You know, there's an old saying, united we stand, divided we fall. And if the devil can get in and break up the unity of God's people, he has accomplished something for his own purpose. On the other hand, you remember what caused the devil's downfall was pride. Pride is the opposite of humility. Now when we came into chapter 2, he brings before us in chapter 2 the outstanding example of humility. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, and then he brings us down the various steps, how Christ humbled himself, became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. He couldn't go any further. Here was the classic example of humility. He did it all for the benefit of others. However, coming down through that chapter, not only so, after outlining to us the great classic example of the Lord Jesus Christ, Paul does bring in a little bit about himself, and then he comes on to this section here, where he brings in the example of Timothy, followed by the example of Epaphroditus. Now, when you come to think of Timothy, Timothy is presented here as a servant. Now, you remember that's how Paul introduced this epistle. Paul and Timothy, the servants, and the word for servant there is the word bond servant. You see, a great number of people today can be servants, but they're not bond servants. They have hired themselves out, they've taken a job, and they have a master, and they are the servant of their master. But they're not bond servants. If they don't like the job, they can tell their master such and such. Of course, they should do it graciously. And it used to be you had to say, 14 days, sir, and I'll be walking up. See? Sometimes you only need to give a week's warning. Some folk only need to give a day. But if you don't like your job, you can get out and look for another one. You're not a bond servant. But you see, there was a time when people were bond servants. Bound. They were slaves. They wouldn't dare run away. Now, says Paul, along with Timothy, we are bond servants of Jesus Christ. That was the lowest form in which a servant could be found. A bond servant. So Paul took the low place for himself and Timothy, but now here he's dealing with Timothy himself. Timothy then was a servant. It's interesting to trace through a little of Timothy's life in fellowship with the Apostle Paul. His associations with Paul were good, and he proved himself to be a loyal and dependable helper. That is, as they engaged in the work of the Lord. At different times, there were local churches who came to a time of crisis. Now, you know, it's all right having a position of responsibility when everything is all right. Take the captain of a ship. As long as the sea is smooth, and the engines are running all right, why, the captain can go and lie down, and the ship will just plow through. It's a different matter when they get word that they're heading for a storm, or the storm is heading for them. And when that hurricane or that tropical storm strikes, then it's going to take all the ability of the captain to guide the ship through troubled water. It's easy running a business when everything's going right. There's plenty of customers, and everybody's paying their bills, and every worker's doing his share. That's right. The boss can take a day off. But when things go wrong, and there's trouble within, he's got to be there on the spot. That's when the test comes. A time of crisis. What is true in the business world today is just as equally true in the spiritual life. Not only in the life of the individual, but in the life of a local church. It's when the crisis comes, and when there are difficulties to be faced, that's when we're tested. When Timothy proved that he was a loyal servant in times of crisis. For example, there was a great crisis with the church at Thessalonica. And Paul couldn't get there. Paul was away down at Athens. From there he went on to Corinth. He couldn't go back to Thessalonica. But he got Timothy to go back. Timothy had to go back there in time of crisis, and Paul told him what to do when he got there, how he was to encourage them and strengthen them with regards to their faith, and so on. You say, well, that was easy enough for him, he could do that. Well, that may have been his easiest assignment. Later on, there was a great amount of trouble in the church at Corinth. And I think I've told you this before, but I'd been reading the letter to the Corinthians on many an occasion, and had listened to different men minister on it, but it came as a big surprise to me the day that I noted that Paul sent Timothy to Corinth. Remember, a young man. And when you think of the church at Corinth, they came behind no church so far as gift was concerned. Gifted church. Of course, they also had an awful lot of trouble. And it was to that church at Corinth, in time of crisis, young Timothy was sent. He had a certain message to give them. And then when you come to Paul's first letter to Timothy himself, sent to him at the time when he was in Ephesus. From that epistle we learn this. It was while they were at Ephesus and he was journeying with Paul. Paul says to him, Timothy, I want you just to stay here. In effect, I know you want to go with me. But it's going to be far better if you stay here. You're needed here. There's a work to be done here. In spite of the fact that the church at Ephesus had received great amount of help from Paul. He'd been there for 3 years ministering to them. Timothy, you stay here. Keep in mind that at the church at Ephesus, there was a great number of men who were recognized as elders and overseers. Never mind. Timothy, I want you to stay here. There are things that have gone wrong and you'll have to help them to get things put right. See, Timothy was a servant. He proved that he could be trusted. In times of crisis, here again, writing here this letter and sending it to the Christians at Philippi, he says, I'm sending Timothy. I've often thought this is one of Timothy's hardest assignments, to go there and try to get two ladies reconciled. What a job for a young man. I don't know if they were older than him, but I believe they were. What a job for a young man to go there and try and pour oil on troubled water when two women are causing trouble in a local church. But he was a trusted servant with Timothy. He says, but I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy as shortly unto you, that I also may be of good comfort when I know your state. I'm sending Timothy. Not only was he a trusted servant, he was a true servant. Timothy seemed to have some quality of soul that caused him to be genuinely concerned for the spiritual state of other Christians. Now, that's not an easy thing to acquire. It doesn't come all at once. Sometimes it takes years to develop that condition of soul. Of course, you know the reason. Most of us can become so self-centered that we just think of ourselves and our own little circle, what we are doing, what we're going to do, what we'll need, and so on. Now, there's nothing wrong with being concerned with your own affairs as long as you don't limit yourself to that little circle. You've got to become concerned about others. For instance, see what Paul says about him here. Who will naturally care for your state? He'll care for you. Now, you see, he wasn't obliged to do it, but there was something developing within that young man, whether it was his companionship with Paul or not, I don't know, or the Spirit of God working in him and developing those Christian characteristics, but he was a young man who was going to show concern for others. For instance now, why should I be concerned about others? See, Mr. So-and-so, he's saved, you know. We don't have to worry about him now. We've been praying for him for years. And he's got saved. Praise the Lord, he's got saved. Yes. So we don't need to pray for him now. Who said so? Perhaps you need to pray more for him now than ever you prayed before. You see, when a person gets saved, that's going to affect their standing. They're now in Christ. That's their standing. And once they're in Christ forever. Yea, forever is the word. Nothing can the ransom sever, not divide them from the Lord. That's eternal security. They're in Christ. And once they're in Christ, they can never again be out of Christ. That's dealing with the standing. Ah, but what we're dealing with here is the state. He will care for your state. You see, your state may be altogether different from your standing. Your standing is what you are in Christ. Your state, how are you living? Are you growing in Christ? Are we going on to maturity? Or is there a lack of spiritual growth? Is the devil getting in? Now he says he'll care for your state. See, it's an important thing to look after a person's state. For instance now, let me put it this way. Here's a man who pretends, he just pretends, that he's interested in someone else's state. But what he's actually doing is he's shadowing them like a kind of spiritual detective. He knows when they get out, so he's going to be there and he's going to watch them. He's going to watch that young woman to see where she goes. He's going to watch that young man to see where he goes, what company he keeps, how he's spending his evening. So he sees that young person going into a very questionable place. Ah, he's got something against him. He's not going to let the grass grow on this. He's seen them with his own eyes. So he'll call a meeting of the elders and report it. Is that caring for one's state? Oh no. Why didn't he go forward and put his hand on the shoulder and say, excuse me, brother, you're not going in there, are you? Come on, let's have an evening. That would be caring for his state. You see, if you're going to care for one spiritually, you're going to show that exercise, a concern for them, so that you'll try and help them that their state will correspond to their standing. You know, there's a difference between Timothy and others. See what he says in verse 21. For all seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ. But you know the proof of him, that as a son with a father, he has served with me in the gospel. See, some people were self-centered. We indicated that to begin with. And some are self-seeking. Self-centered and self-seeking. That is, caring only for their own thing. But Timothy was willing to put the interests of others and the interests of Christ first. Isn't that what the Lord himself taught in the Sermon on the Mount? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. First things must come first. You see, after all, he was a young fellow who had some kind of spiritual objective in view. In plain words, he was willing to spend and be spent for the benefit of others, no matter what the costs may be. When I read this, I've got to ask myself the question, what is my objective? Is it self? Is it others? And the Lord? Are we prepared to put him first? But Timothy was not only a trusted servant and a true servant. Timothy was a trained servant. You know, suppose here's a lad who leaves school. He wants a job. And he goes along and he presents himself at a certain place and he said, "Now, I'm looking for a job, sir. I'd like to work. Could you give me a job?" And the boss man looks him over and says, "Well, what can you do? Have you any experience?" "No, none, whatever. Just let's go. Right? I'll give you a job on condition. On condition that you're willing to be trained. Because you won't be able to do the work that I've got for you unless you have some training. I'll put you with someone who'll train you." Fine. He goes out the next day and he's told, "This is the man, you'll work with him. Whatever he tells you to do, you'll do it. And he'll train you." 10 minutes later, and the boss man's away, and the man is working and says, "I'd like you to do this. I'm not going to do it. This is the way I'm going to do it." He wouldn't belong in the job, would he? And he wouldn't learn very much. Now, when it came to spiritual things with this young man, Timothy, he went out with Paul, and he became a trained servant. You know, I like this. He learned how to work in harmony with others. That's a remarkable thing. "You know the proof of him that as a son with the Father, he has served with me in the gospel." Serving in the gospel in harmony with others. It's a wonderful thing, you know, to be in harmony with others. He not only worked with Paul, he worked with others. Have you ever taken time to think of that group of men who left the shores of Asia Minor, the little town of Troas, and they sailed over the water, and they came into Macedonia? They're with Paul. And you remember how he was converted, how he became a Christian. Self-righteous Pharisee got converted. And then you remember Silas joined in right from the time that he started the second missionary journey. He took Silas. Silas was a much younger man than Paul, and he had come up from Jerusalem, and he joined in. But he was a man of good report. And then when they went on, they found this young fellow, Timothy, and they got him to go. He would be the youngest one. And then later on, they got another member called Dr. Luke. What a conglomerate. Four different kinds of men, different ages, different backgrounds. There's nothing about Timothy having any high education, you know. But Paul was highly educated. But see, he and Timothy could join together. And then Silas. I think Silas was a bit of a singer. Because you remember the night they were put in prison at Philippi, Paul and Silas sang. I've often thought of Silas being the man who led the singing there and got Paul to sing with him. At least they were singing in prison. And then the doctor. Though you never read of the doctor preaching any of the sermons, but he was with them. And these men worked in a close harmony. You know, it is possible for Christians to work in harmony. Not that they're all doing the same thing, but they're in harmony. Then again, he was a man who not only was trained to work in harmony, Timothy could work with humility as a son with a father. Have you ever thought of a son working with his father? It's one of the last things that some boys want to do. They don't want their father to be around them when they're working. They think he might be too hard. He might expect too much from them. They'd rather work with someone else. But there's one thing about it. They're working with their father. He knows what he wants his son to be. And he'll give him good training, and he'll help him in any way. But here Timothy was able to work with Paul just as a son with a father. You see, in this connection, if he's working with his father, he's got to respect him. Not only will he respect his father, he'll show reverence to his father. He'll give his father his rightful place. You see, he was a man who could work in harness with others. Now you take a man that's going to do plowing in the old days. He takes two horses, or go further back still when they took the oxen. They had to put the yoke on of the harness. You know, that's why the Bible says they were not to plow with an ass and an ox. But one of the most awkward things. Because, you see, there would be a different height. And if you could put the yoke on the neck of the ox and on the neck of the ass, why, that yoke would be rubbing back and forward. It would be most difficult because it would be an unequal yoke. And then the one animal would be taking larger steps, quicker steps than the other. So not only would the old goat be going back and forward this way, it'd be sliding back and forward that way, and before long, the neck would all be scattered and torn. You have not to do it, he said. You have to have an equal yoke. Well, here was a man who could work with the yoke. He could work in harness with others, because they both had the same objective. Now you see, him therefore I hope to send presently, so soon as I shall see how it will go with me. In plain words, I'm going to send Timothy and I'm going to send Epaphroditus. Now, as I said at the beginning, I wanted to get on to this man Epaphroditus. Perhaps you'll take 2 minutes with me. Just look at what it says about him. You can study this through at home. Yet I suppose it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother, number one, and companion in labor, number two, and fellow soldier, number three, but your messenger, and he that ministered to my want. He was a man whom he says is my brother. Now, if he's his brother, he's saved. He's a member of the spiritual family. I remember a man addressing me as brother on one occasion. I said, excuse me, sir, don't you address me as brother. You're no brother of mine. He was furious. Well-dressed fellow. One of those about-town city fellows, you know, with a little derby hat and an umbrella over his arm. That's too personal. But I happened to know that he was a Christadelphian denying the very deity of Christ. Big crowd standing around at Tower Hill. He says, excuse me, brother. I said, you're no brother of mine. Don't address me as brother. You see, if he's my brother, he's in the spiritual family. You know, were you shocked the other night? You know, I'm sorry to say this. Neither our president nor the man that wants to oust him know anything about being in the spiritual family. None of the two of them know anything about being born again. They admitted it publicly. Admitted it publicly. You see, here's a man here who had been a heathen, but he had been converted. Paul says he's my brother. Now, brothers have the same relationship to the same father. And if you're my brother and I'm your brother, we have a common relationship to our heavenly father. We're in the same family. But a man who has never been born again, the man who has never been born of the Spirit, is not in that spiritual family. As I've said to you over and over again, it's all wrong for an unconverted person to be taught to say, Our Father which art in heaven. He's not their father. That's only a prayer for those who are disciples. Brothers should have a mutual respect for one another. Now, no matter how much brothers may argue with each other, let an outsider say anything about them and they've had it, you know. Brothers will stand by each other more or less. Brothers should have a mutual respect for one another. But brothers have a mutual responsibility for one another. Sometimes we don't like to admit that. Yeah. Here was a man who was saved and in the spiritual family, Epaphroditus. He was serving in the spiritual fellowship. He says he's my brother and companion in labor. He's a laborer. A fellow worker. How do I know? Well, he was willing, first of all, to take a long journey from Philippi right away over to Rome. Without the use of a motor car, no buses. And he was going to take that journey, and he was going to deliver something that the people in Philippi had collected. And he was going to take that to Paul, ready to deliver the gift from Philippi. Not only so, he was ready to devote himself on behalf of Paul. When he got there, he was willing to stay there, and he was going to labor and help Paul, who was in prison. A very devoted fellow worker. And now he's prepared to come back again and deliver just a letter. It was going to be Paul's postman. Going to bring a letter from Rome and carry it all the way to Philippi. Express mail. Perhaps he would get there just about as quick as some of the letters get today. It takes about 3 days to get them from here up to North Raleigh. They've got to go to Greensboro or someplace first, and then they bring them back again. Something like that. It takes a long time to get them there. This man was willing to carry it, first class mail, right from the prison at Rome, and deliver it right to the hands of the Philippi. He was in fellowship, all right. He was willing to be a fellow worker. You know, as members of the body of Christ, each of us has a service to render for the benefit of the whole body. You know that every member of this body functions on behalf of the whole body, likewise in the spiritual sense. Here was a man who was prepared to sacrifice in the spiritual fight. He calls him a fellow soldier. Some of you fellows were in the forces. You know what it means. A soldier has got to be equipped for the fight. You don't send soldiers into battle without having their equipment. Ephesians 6, you remember when we dealt with that? We got the full equipment called the armor of God. But then he's going to be encountering the foes. The soldier must know who his foes are. If he doesn't, he's in trouble. But there's another aspect of this, and this is the one that comes home to us with regard to Epaphroditus. He was enduring the fatigue. Continual warfare, you know, brings weariness. That's why soldiers from time to time have to be sent back. A little time of relief, a little time of rest. He was a man who was so engaged in the spiritual fight, he was losing his strength. Physically. You see, he had to go on. But now, he's sent in charge of the spiritual fund. That's why he says he's a messenger and a minister. Those in Philippi had collected certain things and they wanted these things delivered to Paul. And he said, well, I'm willing to go. I wonder why they selected him. I suggest they selected him because he had the character that was necessary. Go back to Acts chapter 6 and you'll find what these features are. Remember what he said, choose ye out men. And he gave them the characters of these men. Here's a man, no doubt, who met them. He was sent because they had their confidence in him. He's a man who had proved himself in the church at Philippi. The rest had confidence in him, and they sent him. But surely he was serving, like Timothy now, he was serving because of his concern for others. He had a concern for Paul. I've often thought that perhaps he was led to trust the Lord when Paul was in Philippi. And now the time has come and he wants to go from Philippi. He's going to carry those things to Paul. He has a concern for the Lord's servant. And he has a concern for the people who are back there in Philippi. He's concerned for other Christians. Now last of all, here was a man who was sick because of his spiritual service. It says he was sick nigh unto death. The Philippian Christians gave their substance. Remember one night at a Bible study many years ago, somebody was talking about this, and they were talking about the money that was sent from Philippi to Rome. The one old man there, you have one of a kind in every group. He was the one of a kind. Always awkward. He says, who said it was money they sent? Who said it was money they sent? He says, couldn't it have been a big parcel of things? And I looked at him and I waited a little while. I said, well, brother, if it was a big bundle, big heavy bundle, I said, if after that I should have a hard struggle cutting out on his shoulders all the way from Philippi to Rome, but no doubt he did take some things. Paul says, the things you said. But I said, isn't it better for us today just to think in terms of the value of those things? And before they got the things, they would have to give their money to buy the things. So don't let us argue about it. Let us realize this, that the people of Philippi gave up their substance. They gave what belonged to themselves of the substance, and they gladly gave it in order to send something to Paul. But this man, Epaphroditus, gave himself. Now it's one thing to give what we've got, it's an entirely different thing to give ourselves. Epaphroditus gave himself. And in so doing, taking the journey from Philippi to Rome and serving Paul there, for some way or some reason or another, he turned sick. And his sickness was nigh unto death. And the people back there in Philippi got to hear about it. And when Epaphroditus knew that they knew about it, it made him worse. First of all, he had a physical sickness, no doubt because of overwork. And then he had a home sickness. He wanted to get back to Philippi because he realized this, that if he could only get back to Philippi and see them, they would know then he was all right. Says Paul, I'm sending them back. He's anxious for you folks. It's worried him because he got to know that you knew he was sick and he didn't want you to know. Receive him therefore in the Lord with all gladness and hold such in reputation. He's been a long while in coming back. But remember, he wanted to serve me here. Then he's turned sick. Now he's recovered. I'm sending him back to you. Don't you chastise him when he gets back for being so long in coming. Just receive him, therefore, in the Lord with all gladness. Hold such in reputation. Because for the work of Christ, he was nigh unto death, not regarding his life, to supply your lack of service for me. Here's two examples. Example of Timothy. An example of Epaphroditus. Men who were willing to work. Men who were willing to serve. Serve perhaps in a very menial way, but with service for the Lord. And surely their mark by these two things that we mentioned at the very beginning, they're marked by humility. That's a very important thing. They were prepared to do the humble thing. They recognized the need for unity, that all God's people are in together, and every member of the body has got to be there. Do you ever think of that hymn, Go Labor On? Spend and be spent, thy joy to do the Father's will. 'Tis the way the Master went. Should not the servant tread it still? Men die in darkness at your side, without a hope to cheer the tomb. Take up the torch and wave it wide, the torch that lights time's thickest. Shall we pray? Our Father, we thank thee for another evening hour spent together. Think of the prayers that were offered, especially for those who are sick, some at home, some in hospital, and maybe many, many others that we don't know about. O God in mercy, look down upon all thy people. Remember those who have been praying very specially for the members of their own family. O God, hear their prayers, save precious souls. Remember us this coming weekend here. May it be a time of uplift, a time of blessing. For thy people shall be helped heavenward. Hear us in these things now, for the Lord Jesus' sake. Amen.